I owned the vineyard, so it was my business. And I could hear birds chirping in the background. I could smell the grapes and the vines and the earth, like the green of the earth. It was like summertime. It was hot.
I just have one question, Francine.
Okay.
Did you like your hat?
I loved it.
That's very funny. Good question. Did you smell anything or taste anything?
Basically, the taste in my mouth was just like sour grapes, I guess.
That's an interesting taste under the circumstances.
It was summertime, and you know how, like, in the summer, when everything is ready to almost burst.
Yeah.
So ripe, and you could smell the grapes. And
yeah.
You could smell the earth. I love the smell of the earth anyway.
So which of these physical sensations was the made the biggest impression on you?
I'm going to say the actual feeling that I felt inside, like, of being successful.
Ah, that's an interesting one. Okay. Was it a pleasant feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a happy feeling. It was, like, a satisfying feeling. I was just kind of walking through the vineyard, just looking over my business and my crops and the people working.
So here you are, a successful person, looking over your domain, experiencing the richness and fullness of everything. So what message was there in that for you?
I guess it's a desire to succeed.
Is it a desire? Do you actually see? I mean, so it must be a really strong thing then. And that would mean that if you equate, or if you can see success as being partly involved with the fulfillment of summer and the bursting of things ready to harvest, my sense is then that you are not at that state yet. Things are not summery for you.
Right.
Is that? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there because I don't really know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But is that so or not?
Probably. Maybe I'm working up to it. I'm like very business oriented anyway. Even though I don't have my business right now, but I previously owned a hair salon, and I'd like to go. You know, I'm trying to work towards a wellness center or whatever. But I'm kind of like trying to put the pieces together. And I'm not real materialistic. Like, I don't have to have designer, but I guess, like, the successful part of it.
Well, have you ever been successful before? What you would call successful? Have you ever reached that summery, full, bursting state?
I'm going to say no, even though I did have my own business and different things.
So it remains just out of reach.
Right.
Somewhere. Guys, any comments on this?
I would say that it's you're working towards that, and that it's almost as if this imagining that you had is more or less the goal. Again, I'm getting into interpretation here, but many times I feel that is like a goal-oriented card. And I'm sensing that since this is your, don't work so hard, don't struggle so hard towards that goal, kind of sit back and enjoy some of the smells of the summer.
That's an interesting thought, because the question is, can you enjoy what you've got at the moment, or does it have to be in the future?
Yeah, and that's something I sort of picked up on it, too. It was just a sense of exhaustion.
You got that feeling, too, then?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Exhaustion and people working and, like, okay, let's move on from here. And the heat, to me, though we joked about it, seemed more like fatigue and overbearing.
There may be a point, too. Again, here, this is an interpretive thing, but I'm getting the feeling that you're going to probably be the motivating factor in something in that salon, in which you're going to be motivating moving, I'd say, throughout the holidays.
Well, that's a kind of an interesting thing, because that's a predictive thing, which is acceptable. Are you feeling close to accomplishing any of this stuff, Francine, or are you
not
still...
Not right now.
No, huh?
I mean, it's in my mind, and I'm trying to put the pieces together, but not right now.
Let me see. I'm going... Who else should I... Kelly, I haven't heard a word from you in ages. You've been hiding out?
Yeah.
Come forward a little.
Okay. You mean as far as this one goes?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I kind of picked up on the...
Uh-huh.
I just saw it as a projection of what she wanted, getting it clear.
That's really interesting. Now, Francine, do you actually have the feeling of being in any way tired or worn or carrying
absolutely.
A heavy burden?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's what seems to be the feeling here. Also, by the way, there was a little thing that was just said and very quickly passed over, which was the taste of sour grapes.
Mm-hmm. You just read my mind.
That kind of came out of my mouth, too. I didn't mean that the way it sounded, but maybe I really did.
Is there a sense at all of disappointment in the way things have been so far? I don't know where the sour grapes is. I'm not exactly sure what that's about.
I don't get the disappointment as much as I feel the overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
The sense of overwhelm, being overwhelmed, which can also create a sour grapes feeling.
Yeah, it could come from a couple of places. What do you think about that, Francine?
Maybe just because things are, like, stagnant right now. Not going in the direction I thought they were going to be going, and we had to move, and so they're just kind of stagnant right now. The holidays are here, and that kind of puts things at a standstill.
So actually, an interesting sort of way, the sourness of that taste represents what's it's a pretty clear sensory picture of the feeling of the moment, unless
right.
I'm mistaken. Is that the combination of exhaustion and sourness? That's an interesting combination. Is that in any way reflective of your personal moment at this time?
I would say so, yeah.
Good.
And it's funny because when you pick the card, you don't realize that that's like the path you're going to be in your image, but...
That's why this exercise is as good as it is, because without knowing why, you usually home straight in on some really major point. And this is the nub of things. It's usually the emotional nub that you get from this exercise rather than the details. Cool. Let me see. One more, because otherwise we'll run. Well, actually, we have time for more. Let's see how much we do. Because each person's experience is important. Does anybody want to volunteer at this point who hasn't gone yet?
I will.
Good.
Because this was pretty much a wow experience. I had the Ten of Pentacles, and that card jumped out at me even before this exercise. And when I first went into the card, I saw the old man, and he pointed the way to that checkerboard gateway. And I started heading in that direction, and I noticed that inside the gateway, it was like quicksilver. Everything was moving and gray and in motion. And then I heard like the howling of the hounds, and then like a tinkling of bells, and then a gong. So it was really a clear sound that way. The howling almost gave way to the bells, and they weren't tinkling. They started tinkling, but they ended up more like cathedral bells, the really heavy-duty gongs. And I smelled like a musky kind of scent. And then with the taste, it's like I bit into a grape and I had the moisture, the burst of flavor that you would get with a grape, but it tasted like apples. And let's see, then the feeling or what I felt, I leaned down and I petted one of the dogs, and I felt the fur on the dog. And that's probably the feeling that stuck out most. I mean, of all these things, that feeling of petting that dog is what stuck out.
Was it a warm and comfortable one?
Yeah. And given, you know, the message, and I've really, you know, we've been talking about other things, so it's been hard to really think about it, but I need to think about it, because the message that I got was that life is all an illusion and reality can only be found in death. But not in a negative way. I mean, it was just the message. And then how I related to that is then the child sort of jumped up and said, "Don't worry, be happy."
What was that?
"Don't worry, be happy"? That's so funny.
Yeah, so it ended in a sort of comedic kind of thing. But it was very intense.
What was the intensity is in what exactly?
Well, I think the intensity, it's like at the point that I felt the dog's hair and petted the dog, I felt totally grounded in reality and went, this is what life is all about, just feeling these good, warm things and the connection with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I picked up from meaning is that with life being an illusion, it's all the stress, all the pressures are really totally irrelevant. That there are things that where you focus on the wrong things, and I've been under a lot of pressure at work and everything. And it just seemed that, you know, just go with the flow and go where the feelings are and where the love is and where your connection with people and animals and all that.
How do you not do that?
Well, you get, well...
I mean, I'm talking about you in particular.
Yeah, when I don't do that, I get wound up in what I should be doing and what I need to get done and what I need to get accomplished and stressing about not maybe being able to get it done. And I lose sight of the things right in front of me that are wonderful.
It's kind of interesting. I've noticed that between the three people who have spoken so far, four, actually, there's a tendency to look to the future, and all the problems seem to come from what's ahead of you and wanting what you don't have and striving for things that aren't there and, you know, and various forms of dissatisfaction with what you actually have in the present, and all of the messages seem to be relax, slow down, enjoy,
yeah.
You know, enjoy, smell the coffee, enjoy the grapes, you know, whatever it happens
yeah,
to be.
Yeah,
pet the dog.
Pet the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of enjoy what you've got. Be loved for who you are. You know, be content with what you have. I mean, all the problems are always future oriented.
I think too that's very interesting that the dog seemed to be more the most prominent thing in. Very obviously, you're very connected to animals and especially dogs. Notice those are the elements that will give in return the unconditional love. More so, they. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's out of all the human figures there, that's the one you can depend on.
Yeah, the dog you can depend on. The humans seem to be illusionary.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, all right. So I guess we have the general idea here. And would anybody who hasn't spoken their experience yet with it, would you like to? Because if you don't, there's some things that I can add to this in the way of meanings of cards and things which you might want to take away with you.
I don't. I just want to add something to the last reading.
Uh huh.
And this applies obviously to myself as well, but. Not to get so caught up in the mundane, but because she chose it. Was that Scheherazade? Okay. Because Scheherazade chose the 10, and that's the only card that depicts the Tree of Life, to be able to focus more on the supernal.
Kind of interesting, because what Scheherazade was saying, she wanted to get away from the heady things and the intellectual things the non-grounded things and get back to the simplicities.
To be able to look at the spiritual riches that are far beyond their material value.
Well, what do you think, Scheherazade? Is Marcy correct, or is she missing it?
Well, I think missing it a little bit, because I think I've spent so much time on those other realms, and, just get down to the basics.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Those get lost.
Now, Marcy, you do that. You want to get away from the basics and get into the spiritual, which is really very funny.
Again, I was projecting my own, most what you need to learn. But I know also, because 10 was Malkuth, that it's the earth plane, right?
Right.
So between the earth plane and the pentacles,
uh-huh.
that was the earth, I'm trying to articulate what I'm feeling here, but not to get so caught up in this illusion of the earth plane. But that was the challenge, to be able to not get caught up in the material freedom, but to be able to see that all of this is just the initiation for our souls.
Well,
my feeling.
You know, it's funny, when you get to that level, when you start talking about that opposition between being grounded and being spiritual, being going up and going down, going outside and going inside, that is very much a matter of personal predilection. Some people, when they get to the level, the last card in the deck, which is the Ten of Pentacles, when they get to that last card, they have the option of going deeper and deeper into the world as it looks, deeper and deeper into the world as it feels and is, just as you see it. Or using that as a pushing off point and going higher. Now, those are two totally different ways of dealing with the Ten of Pentacles. And they're both useful and they're both valuable and they're both important. That leads us directly, it's a perfect segue into what comes next. Because you remember last week we were talking about the fact that that there is only one pentacle. There aren't 10 of them, there aren't 27 of them, or however many there are when you count up all the pentacles in the cards. There's only one. And every pentacle can be seen from several perspectives, and each one of the 10 numbers is one perspective from which you can see it. So we can take a look at these five cards that we've got here, what the perspectives are from the point of view of the 6, the 7, etc. And, of course, in this stuff, the numerology, the number, is a reference specifically to Kabbalah. This is not Pythagorean numerology or other kinds. It's a particularly Kabbalistic numerology, and the numbers deal specifically with that. So the question would be, if we start from the beginning of our little series with the number 6, what exactly is the perspective? What's the view of the pentacle from the number 6? And in Kabbalah, very, very roughly, and for our purposes here, the number 6 is very, very good fortune. The number 6 is happy. The number 6 is integrated. The number 6 is complete. The number 6 is magical and wonderful and full of good omens. In general, in tarot, all the 6s are basically happy cards. They all show comfortable, cheerful, good outcomes of various kinds if they're understood correctly. And the 6 here, too, without going into specific details, the 6 of Pentacles is actually one of giving and receiving. It's a combination of things, and it reflects one aspect of that position number 6, which is the position of the heart. And here, if you ask, you'll receive. And everybody has something to give. And it's a very strong and very comforting card in a certain kind of way, and should be a good situation for just about everybody. There's lots of ways to interpret this card, but that's one way in which you can see it. It's just the hierarchy of giving and receiving. It can be, of course, you notice that there are 3 figures in that card. And if you were to look at that card and ask yourself, or a querent, if that card came up in a reading for someone else, it might be that you would ask the person, which person in that card are you? You could be the one giving, you could be the one getting, or you could be the one asking and not getting anything. It's an interesting combination of possibilities. But generally speaking, from the point of view of the 6, things are being given. From the point of view of the 7, 7s in this case are volatile. They're full of change, full of passion. And nothing stays the same with the 7s. Nothing is certain with the 7s. Everything's on the cusp. Everything's on an edge. And in the 7s in general, all through the deck, the 7s tend to be a bit edgy and a little bit iffy and not quite certain. And in this card, too, the actual title of this card is The Lord of Success Unfulfilled. Even though the bush is full, the pentacles are ripe, the guy's standing there looking at it a little bit askance. He's not quite sure of what he's got. Even though the bush is full, it may be that he planted one thing and got something different than he had in mind to begin with. It may be that the fruit are full, but they're not very tasty. They may be either tasteless or it's sour. There's something wrong with this picture, in other words. There's something not quite the way it ought to be, or at least something suspicious. And so there's a sense of not being correct, and therefore possibly of not being finished. And so again, the edginess of the card comes through. And considering that we're talking about pentacles, and we're talking about solid, you know, practical, finished matters, when you apply the principle of uncertainty and lack of fulfillment to issues of practicality, you know exactly where you stand, even if you don't look at the picture, even if you work with a different deck. Just the idea that the 7 of Pentacles is an uncertainty in the realm of practical matters. Then you get to the 8. Now the interesting thing about the 7 and the 8 is as solid as the 7 is volatile. The 8 is that portion. The 7 is on one side of the tree of life, and the 8 is on the other side. And one is force and one is form. One is expansive and one is contractive. One, you know, produces lots of energy, and the other one contains it and keeps it in check. The Eight of Pentacles always shows a solid, sturdy, steady state. Now it's interesting because in the Eight of Wands you have these neatly flying objects and everything seems to be in movement. Nevertheless, from the point of view of Wands, well, of course we're getting off the Pentacles now, but from the point of view of Wands, everything is as it should be in the Eight of Pentacles. I mean, in the Eight of Wands, everything is as it should be here too. Everything is dependable. Everything is believable. Everything works. In the Eight of Wands, everything's in parallel. Everything's going where it ought to be going. Here too, everything is working the way it ought to be working. When the Eight of Pentacles comes up, in purely practical matters, you can let things alone. Things are going the way they ought to. They're cheerful, happy, content, and well in hand. When you deal with the Nines are a matter of completion, but they're an interesting thing about the completion, because although they're complete, they're not yet manifest. Everything is in the blueprint stage. All the energy of the entire nine numbers, or the entire eight numbers before it, is coming to completion in the nine, so that everything is about to be visible, not quite yet. The nines are the not quites. Even though they're complete but not manifest, because it's in the tens that things become manifest. It's in the tens that whatever the consequences are of the entire journey from the ace through the nine become visible and complete in the ten. Until the ten shows up, you can't see it. It isn't finished. Even though the plans are complete, even though the DNA is all in place, the baby hasn't been born yet. So what happens is that the nine shows all the possibilities are complete there, except for the last one, which is where it shows up. So the Nine of Pentacles shows a person who has inherited the wealth of everything that has gone before. The Nine of Pentacles is the inheritor of the entire journey of Pentacles. Everything is there, waiting. So the Nines are waiting. The Nines are an approach. The Nines are almost. And here you have a state of practicality, a state of fullness, ripeness, richness that has not actually yet quite been harvested. In the tens, in the Ten of Pentacles, you have completion. You have family you have wealth that's become dynasty. You have individual labor that's become family. You have everything that could possibly be produced has actually been finally produced and is actually sitting there on your plate, and you've actually eaten it. You've actually enjoyed it, you've actually done it, and it's literally been there and done that. The ten is a done deal. And anything that you could imagine as a practical consequence of any other action before it, the ten is the practical consequences. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. It's not always sure whether good or bad. That's kind of a personal call. But the one thing that you can be sure of is that the chickens have come home to roost. It's all there. Or is about to, or if you're doing a predictive reading, it's about to happen and be complete. So you can count on, what would you call it? You can count on the consequences showing up. That can be either a reassuring thing or a not so reassuring thing, depending on what's going on. So that card, by the way, is called the Lord of Wealth. The Lord of Wealth. This is it. You've got the coin in hand. The check is cleared. In the nine, you got the check. You got paid. But it's not in the bank yet. You can't spend it until it clears. In the 10, the check is cleared and is now ready for use and actually belongs to you. So what you've got when you look at these five cards is five different ways of looking at practical matters. Without even telling you what they mean. I mean, if you were to go into this, the whole other realm of meanings is, you know, the usual practical stuff of what the cards mean. And there is probably, if you looked at 10 different books, you'd come up with 10 sets of meanings, at least half a dozen for each book. And if you put them all together, you'd have a collection of meaning that would serve you in pretty good stead. I mean, you could use them all in a practical reading. This stuff is the underlying energy from which all of those meanings are derived. What I would like to do, I don't know how many of you actually have a sense by looking at the cards of what they mean. Usually, the pictures in these cards will tell you pretty much what they're about. Knowing the energy of the cards will add some depth and some subtlety to your interpretations. What I would like to do for the last couple of minutes is I would like to do a reading. So first of all, what we need to do is to, just working with these five cards, I'd like you all to shuffle your cards. Just shuffle them up and turn them face. Yeah, these five cards, just these five cards, shuffle them up and turn them face down. Just the five cards that we're working with tonight, the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of Pentacles, just those. Shuffle them up in a little deck of five and turn them face down so you don't know what they are, what's there. Now, does anybody have a question that they would like to ask?
Yeah, what does that darn snail mean?
No, no, I don't mean that. I mean the question. Yeah, the snail, the meanings of the images is a separate matter. But what do you have a question that you would like to have a reading on? Anybody have anything that they want to know about? If you were going to go to a reader right now and you could have a free reading from anybody and you just say, well, gee, I'm going to ask a question. I've got this really great group of talented people and I'm going to ask a question. Anybody have a question they want to ask?
About ourselves?
Yeah. About your life, anything at all?
Oh, plenty.
Go pick one and we'll see if we can answer it.
Okay. I would like to know about my love life.
You'd like to know about your love life. Anything
yes.
in particular that you'd like to know about your love life?
If I meet somebody in the near future.
Okay, so that assumes, presumably, that at the moment, you don't have such a person in hand, and I'm also assuming you would like to.
Yes.
And you would like to know if that's going to happen in the near future. Okay. It's a question that comes up often. Many people are in that situation, and it's a question that comes up a lot. So let me see. We need a lead reader. So anybody want to, we're all going to take a shot at answering Helena's question, but we need a lead reader. Who wants to do that? Anybody? Do I have to pick a volunteer? Okay. Debbie, are you there?
Yes.
And you thought you were going to get away with it, did you? Okay. You're going to be our lead reader. So what I want you to do is to pick. Oh, actually, no, I don't want you to pick it. Helena, I want you to give Debbie a number. Just pick a number.
From the cards?
No. Just pick a number, any number.
Seven.
Okay, now we only have five cards. How do you get the number seven for out of five cards? Well, what you do is you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you continue, then you turn the deck back, and you continue 6, 7. So, Debbie, count seven cards using these five, and then turn over the seventh card.
Okay.
So in other words, if you count one, take the first card and put it, and then the second card, and you go through five cards, and then...
And start over,
and the seventh card would actually be the second card from the top of the stack, right? Okay, so turn over that card. And it turned out to be the seven. So now, what I want you to do is to decide whether or not you want to use more, you want to do either a two or a three card reading on this issue, just picking from among these cards. The first card you picked was the seven, then take either one or two more cards to complete the reading with.
Do I pick them or?
Yeah, you pick them.
I pick them. Okay.
Yeah, you've got the seven already. Take the next two in a row off the top.
Okay.
We'll do a three card reading.
All right. Okay, I've got them.
What have you got?
I've got the 10 and the 8.
So the 7, the 10, and the 8. So if everybody would take the 7, the 10, and the 8 and put them out in that order. The 7 presumably is on the left, the 10 is in the middle, and the 8 is on the end. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now we are going to do a reading for Helena on her question using just these three cards and see what we come up with. Take with the other two cards and turn them face down so they're not distracting. Just look at those three. Now, Debbie, begin to do a reading if you can. If you find that you're stuck, we'll help out.
Okay, well, what I see is Helena is, she's like the seven now,
mm-hmm.
And to me, that card, I don't know, I see it as patience and perhaps not seeing the fruits of her labor, not coming out the way exactly you want them to come out, but I see a lot of patience there.
Okay.
And with the Ten of Pentacles, everything is right there before you in your life now. It's all around you. And with the eight is your skills, your talents, and I think they're all manifesting. They're all manifesting, but I see the seven of being patience and not, perhaps not really being fulfilled.
Well, do you now when you remember that she wants to know whether her love life is basically going to improve in the near future? Is she going to actually find one? Can you answer that question?
Yes, I would say so. With the Ten of Pentacles, it looks very promising. I mean, there's a family there. There's dogs. There's animals.
Okay. How would you describe the timeline in this? Remember that from her point of view, presently speaking, she doesn't have the person she wants. So where would that place? Where would we be in among the three cards? Where would the present be located among the three cards then?
The present.
If you were going to divide this up into past, present, future, or something along those
lines. Right, and I know a lot of people start with the left is the past, and the middle the present, and the right is the future. So the present would be in the center, which is the Ten of Pentacles. So it might be someone that's in your surroundings now.
Good point.
I would say that, yes, that there is that. To me, a love life looks promising. Someone that's right in her midst. But it also looks like by summer.
That's
but I don't like to get too much into predicting. But
why do you say summer?
Because of the Ten of Pentacles.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
But I feel like it's surrounding her.
Yes.
It's
that's
all
interesting.
Around her.
Okay. So why did, if it's all around her now, why isn't it present now? Why is she still in that situation of feeling like waiting, like it hasn't happened or it isn't
well,
happening?
Well, I don't know. Are you out with other people? You know, the Ten of Pentacles is surrounded with other people. So it might be getting out more into social gatherings. It's right in your midst, so.
I try.
Yeah, and
do you try?
At this point in my life, as much as I can, yes, I try.
It's very trying.
That's
right?
Very funny. It sounds as though, yeah, it sounds.
I
as
love it. I can associate.
Yeah, for
but
the.
But I feel that, you know, I feel that like when it's right there, and being open to it, it will come.
Uh huh.
The energy is open, and you'll know when the person makes his presence.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the energy will be similar to yours, and it'll open up to you. And it's a matter of opening up to it yourself.
Okay.
And being aware. That energy coming into your life.
Ask now, Helena. So far we're a long way from finish. But how do you? What's your reaction so far?
She's pretty good because I do have a lot of patience. I'm open, but I just don't see what I like.
Uh-huh.
What about in your profession or your hobby?
Only with women.
Only with women.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a large family?
I would say so.
And do you have lots of dealings with your family?
Yeah, we're pretty close knit family.
Right. And that's interesting because the thing that I saw was with the Eight of Pentacles sitting at the far end, everything remains fairly stable. It doesn't seem to be really going anywhere. You seem to kind of keep doing the same things that you've been doing fairly cheerfully, but it seems to be going along in that direction. And the thing, I mean, I'm looking for a relationship. I'm looking for that stuff. And I'm not seeing it exactly. Bob, what do you see?
Well, with the Eight on the right, I see it as if you are working towards it. I don't think this is going to happen over the holidays. I agree with the concept of spring, say April, May.
Wow.
Okay, is what I'm getting the feeling that the And I didn't, it's kind of nebulous as to whether I get a feel of a time frame, but I agree very heartily about the fact of April, May. The 10 being in the middle, I see more as the working towards issue, so I see that more as the future. Your left being the past and your right being the present, which I know is contrary to the way we usually read, the way we are taught, but this is what I'm getting
feeling. Just instinctively, that's what you feel?
Yeah.
Okay.
The 7 deals with something you planted. Evidently, there was something that was begun maybe a couple of months ago or in a conversation or maybe a year or so ago. I don't think it was more than a year ago. With some sort of person, I'm getting the feeling that it was a man, a gentleman that you met, and I'm getting the feeling that whatever you had planted at that particular time is going to take fruition. You're going to have to feed it along, manure it, water it, make sure it gets the proper sunlight.
Yeah, by the way, do you have a sense at all that any of the people that you already know might be a candidate for your attention?
Not really.
So, okay. That's why I was wondering, because my first feeling was that somewhere amongst your present acquaintance is what might be needed, but you have a distinct feeling that it's not. So I'm wondering where we're going to find it and what that 10 means, other than the possibility of you're simply reaping what you've already sowed.
And remember you said about the concept of the unsurety of that
right.
7 card, so
mm-hmm.
there may be something that might surprise you there.
That's right. There's another interpretation to the number 7 in general, which is that 7 is a number that, as an energy, that where whatever happens to you depends on what you do. It's not like you're going to sit there and just be lucky.
No, no, you're right.
You're going to have to work at it, whatever it is. And have you been doing that?
You see, the problem is my mother passed away, and I'm limited to how much can I go out. So I was running with taking a lot of courses, you know, I can hear lectures, and it's not the way I used to go out dancing and meeting people. It's a little bit, I'm limited at this point for next 6 months additional.
Uh-huh.
But
may I interject?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My sense with the 7 is that, and prior to class tonight, I had two wonderful gals come over who had 7s in their chart as far as when they're going to meet their soulmate. So on that note, what I see for the 7 is that, just like you said, Walt, that you have to already know this is the card of victory, but it's about also taking that knowing that you already are victorious and moving into action. And Helena might analyze everything, and just by her now espousing that she's limited, that's going to be her belief, and whatever we believe is what we become. So she needs to put more passion and trust, because 7 is also the number of trust, to trust that what we're seeking is seeking us, because this card is that she's going to have to, she's content, but that she's losing passion. You know, she has faith, but, you know, her faith, especially with the loss of her mom right now, you know, is being tested.
Let me ask you a question, Marcy.
Pardon?
Let me ask you a question. In terms of time, do you see the present situation that Helena is in based on these cards? Do you see it continuing to be the way it is for a long length of time, a short length of time? Is it volatile and changing? Is it steady state? What do you see?
Well, she's going through a progression. We started with the 7, and then you have the 8, and then the 10. So my sense is that if she already incorporates and knows that this is going to happen, to trust that she deserves to have this, then she will create it. In other words, whatever she believes now is going to come true.
Well, that's a matter of chickens coming home to roost. Whatever you believe in is what you get. The world is as you see it. And I don't know what that's about. I'm assuming that the reason that you asked this question, Helena, is because you don't know quite how to do anything to make this change. And you're hoping that it will happen?
I know it will happen. I don't hope. I'm sure that it will happen.
Okay.
It's no question in my mind, and I know the minute I meet that person, I will know that's the right person for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel those things. The question is, I can go away next weekend for a whole weekend, and I know it's single event, but I know a lot of things I will not be able to do there, but I was thinking if I should go, I shouldn't even go there.
Okay, I'm going to continue to ask. Scheherazade, what's your sense of, if you were going to read this, remember that we're trying to answer the question. First of all, the question is not so much is this going to happen, but when is it going to happen? She's already, Helena's already said she's sure that she will get what she wants. The question is when. What's your sense of that?
Well, I think, I would say with the Ten of Pentacles in the middle, it sounds like there's a lot of ties with family that are keeping Helena from doing the things that she needs to do to meet someone. And so I would say that the when probably wouldn't, I don't see it until the fall.
Yeah.
And I think there needs time to process some things and to work out things with family relationships. And I think that's what the Eight of Pentacles is showing, is that there's work to be done there before she can feel that she can let loose and actually allow herself to connect with someone. So it's not a matter of whether she's met someone or whether she's, it's more whether she's ready to meet someone.
So basically then the 10 really stands as a kind of obstacle.
Yeah, that's
family
what
matters
I mean.
Become a problem.
That's what I see.
And Helena, apparently that is sort of the way things are at the moment.
No, but family, I have no problem.
Oh, I thought because of your mother's death and stuff that, you know.
No, we don't have. Matter of fact, we have no problems. We're very close, and no, we don't
have.
Well,
it's not problems in the point of whether you're close or not, but obligations.
I don't have any obligation because everybody's married except me, and I'm on my own, so to say.
Interesting. So what does everybody make of this Ten of Pentacles sitting in the middle? Usually in a three-card spread, the middle card is the most important.
Well, I'd say it could be, she might be meeting someone through her family that she's, I think that's a possibility, that it could be someone that she knows, that she meets through her family or through through a family gathering, if you have such things. I don't know if, you know, your family gets together like that with the other outsiders coming in, like a party or something.
Not this time.
No.
No, we don't.
But it might also, like from the 7 and 8, it's like, the patience, the tilling of the soil and all that, and to move away from the work situation and get yourself out into a social atmosphere. And like Scheherazade was saying, like when you're ready, the energy will flow from you, and someone else will pick up on that and mix with that kind of energy and be is open also.
Well, Scheherazade had the feeling that the timing would be fall. People are still thinking about family, but family doesn't seem to really be playing a role in this. Helena's feeling is that family is not an obstacle, nor is it a potential. It really doesn't play much of a role in her life at all right now, if I understand you right. Is that so?
Yes.
Okay, so the question is, what is that Ten of Pentacles being there? You have to interpret it on another level, guys.
Well, I remember we were all going right to left or left to right. But Bob Place, when he did a three-card spread, mentioned that sometimes it's the direction the cards go.
Right.
And if you notice, the 7 and the 8 are both facing away from the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps there's been a focus on both the lack of success and the work that's involved and things being on a steady state, so that the attention hasn't been focused in on the 10, and that she needs to change her focus a bit for this to manifest.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing is, guys, from my point of view, I'm looking at this and I can do it in two ways. Bob, do you have a question?
I just had a message for you, Helena.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Go buy a hat.
Go buy. That's very funny. That's a very
That's
funny
it.
Thought.
I'm sorry.
One for the head.
Well, you know the thing. There's two things that occur to me. Here. Number one is the numbers. We have 7, 8, and 10, and I'm thinking that makes it late summer, early fall. And I'm thinking that it's at least that far away. So when Scheherazade had mentioned the fall, I looked at those numbers and thought that was more or less appropriate. Second of all, the 7 is an energetic form. The 8 is a steady state form, and the 10 is a middle pillar form. So you've got all three. You've got to get a perfect balance of everything. doesn't seem like anything is going anywhere in particular. I don't get the sense of these cards specifically promising you anything. I don't get the sense of there being a direction in this.
No, I feel, but agreed, but I feel she is going to have to take the action in it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I get the feeling that anything that's going to happen for you, Helena, will be directly connected with your efforts. It's not something that's going to fall into your lap.
That's well said, yeah.
And I don't know whether you know what to do or not, but it's certainly telling you that it doesn't seem to be, how would I describe it? It's not waiting to happen. It's going to happen only if you make it happen. So if you ask me, when is it going to happen, the answer is there is no answer. No, these cards are telling me that there is no answer to that question, that it is not yet in the works. And
you know what?
Just,
I have to agree with Bob. I say, go buy a hat.
God bless you. Thank you.
I agree.
I have some hats.
You don't like hats.
Yeah, I think that it's a good idea to take the 10 and play
you
the part.
Wear the hat.
Play the part of the wealthy person. Go out and enjoy the world as it stands. Again, we come into one of these goal-oriented things where there's discontent with the moment and one wishes for something that one doesn't have. But if you're going to have it, I don't even see it. I don't see the numbers. I don't see the energies. I don't see the particular messages in the card telling me anything other than you got to do the work. And I don't see that anything is going to happen until and unless you do. And it looks to me like there's a ways ahead yet before it'll produce anything. No clear thing in the immediate future. So if you want to know when, the when is some distance from now, unless you make some big changes. I remember earlier when we talked, you had said that your sense was, from the tradition that you come from, that nothing is written in stone, and that you have the option at any time of changing even a prediction that is otherwise fairly accurate. It can still be changed. Mm-hmm. And the cards, as far as I'm concerned here, what they're doing is they're refusing to make a prediction. They're only telling you what to do. If you want to change a situation, it's in your hands to change it and nobody else's. And you'll have to figure it out. Whether it's easy or difficult, it's going to be in your hands.
But go out and buy a hat.
Right.
how
do you feel about, if that were true, if it turned out to be so, that this elusive person that you're waiting for is simply not yet materialized as a future possibility, that in order to make that happen, you are going to have to literally produce them as though by magic. How does that feel to you?
I don't know. It feels about time that I should have something that, you know.
If you have, do you feel you've done the work?
I think I did. I think what my problem is, when I go out, I'm not attracted to, you know, I don't see somebody that I would say, wow, I would like this guy to come up to me.
Uh-huh.
And for example, I was yesterday, it was a very big gathering in the city. It was over 1,000 people there. I didn't see one person that I would say, okay, that's the person I would be interested to
talk to. But I think that's what the 7 kind of says, is that you might want to change what you're looking at. You've done that, and it might be time to look at something different, do it different. Time to change what row you're hoeing.
It reminds me that talking about, yeah, exactly. You know, it's sort of like if you have 1,000 people, it's sort of like all those pentacles on the bush and none of them are worth eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plenty around you. It's just that none of it is to your taste.
Yeah.
And that may be a habit. I don't know. But it may be a standard way that things are for you. Has that been true for a long time?
I think so.
When was the last time you saw somebody that you would have wanted to be with?
I had a relationship 3.5 years ago, and it was for 12.5 years, and I just got my feelings set not to marry to this person. We're still friends, and really, I can't say that I had somebody.
Okay. So it's been at least 3.5 years then that you have, since the time that you found somebody to your taste.
Exactly. I mean, I had two people, but I never had considering to be serious with them.
Right. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And in all that time, you certainly have seen physically lots of people.
I didn't go out on a date at least for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have dates.
Okay. I don't know why the sense of there being no taste, no pleasure in the men that you see, why that should be so. But until that Seven of Pentacles is changed, until there is juice and pleasure in the people around you, then what you see, this problem will persist. It's not possible to have a relationship unless you like what you see. And the Seven of Pentacles, when it first came out on the table, I was wondering. It looked to me as though there was a kind of a distaste, and that's exactly what it's turned out to be. The rest of it isn't going to happen. The rest of it is practically stuck, like a cork in a bottle, by that seven. What you do about that, I have no idea. This is where a good therapist comes in handy, because I have no idea why that should be, and this is not the place to find that out. But my sense is that's going to have to change before you have a chance. How can you have a relationship if nobody looks good? And do you think that it'll happen?
Yeah, I know it will happen. I don't even think, I'm sure. But
okay, so you're sure that the right person is just going to show up?
I'm not saying it will show up. Of course, I have to go and do something about it, which I really try to do as best that I can at this point in my life.
Uh-huh.
It just, you know, it's not really like looks, because it's demeanor. You know, like I always say, I want an attractive person. An attractive person could look like a monkey, too.
Right, huh? No, it's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I want somebody that's intellectual. It's very important to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a materialistic person like everybody else said. Not important money, but very rich intellectually, I mean.
Right.
And that's very important, communication and understanding each other and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's not many people do, and I'm more like spiritual person and more, you know, thank God today in our ages, you find more people are getting spiritual. And it's a little bit difficult.
I do know it's difficult. And that seems to be literally the difficulty. Just the fact that you perceive what you want as being difficult to acquire. Now, I don't know what's going to change that. All I'm saying is that these cards are telling me that the person you're looking for has not yet shown up. I mean, that is, it's not yet shown up on the horizon. Even in the immediate near future, I don't see this person. Even though it's going to happen, the cards are not telling me how or when. They're not doing it. They're not telling me. And they're not telling you. And that leaves you holding the bag. It leaves you completely responsible, which is kind of an uncomfortable place to be. You're not getting any help from the universe. The burden is yours.
I also get that the way the cards are,
uh-huh.
It seems like the energy is not moving. There's not, it seems kind of stagnant. But with the passing of your mom, I mean, you know, a death, you know, that takes a long time sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, even though you might be ready, you know, apparently it's, you know, maybe that hasn't totally moved out, but I don't know. I think that could be.
There was a question that was often asked me. I've lost both my parents, and within about a 15-month period of time, and there was a question that was always asked me: how do you cope with grief? And I said, you just do, day by day. So it's something that. I'm sensing what you're talking about. Is this Helena that's talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sensing that with that, I think it's like you've given yourself a chance to grieve, but I think you have a little more to go yet.
Have you grieved? Is the death of your mother a grief-filled thing for you or not? I don't know.
You know what the problem is? You know, like, I'm pretty good, I think, and I think the reason that I wasn't at my mother's funeral.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I think she's in Israel, because I was very close to her, you know, and she lived across the street of me, and I took care of her a lot. And not being in the funeral, I don't think so, still sunk in that my mother is gone.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think in the year when I have to go to Israel to her memorial, I think that's what will hit me.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I
think. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, anyway, we have tried rather hard to find the answer to Helena's question. And the answer is an interesting, dubious, and ambivalent answer. Nothing clear-cut, and certainly nothing terribly happy. But at the end of all of this discussion, Helena, do you have the sense that the card spoke to you at all?
I think so.
I hate to be the devil's advocate. I'm sitting here, but I think that there's more hope in it than what I think is being painted.
Yeah, I might be totally.
I feel very strongly because of that 10 being in the center that you're building
me too,
towards.
And I strongly agree with Bob. Especially.
Thank you. Okay.
You might have hats, but go out. Do you like hats? I mean, buy a hat.
That's so funny.
I love
hats,
it
personally.
No, so, you
love it.
Helena must get back to us to tell us.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Know about the relationship.
Yeah, and if you meet him, were you wearing a hat?
it would be very funny if it worked out that way.
I would
love to hear that story. But anyway, what we need to do now is to wrap up, and I wanted you to see what you could do with a very small universe of cards, that you could do a reading with a very small universe of cards and get some very interesting material out of it. We have certainly done that. And I'm not 100% sure that everybody's agreed on this. I'm not 100% sure that we got out of it what we needed to get. It seems to me as though there's a mystery in these cards that I have to figure it out.
That you haven't figured out?
That I have to figure out. I'm not sure that my answer is correct. It's a sense that I have, but I'm not 100% sure that I haven't missed something. How about the rest of you? Do you feel that you plumbed the basic meaning of these three cards in relationship to this question? Have we done it as much as we can do?
I think we've done it as much as we can do in the interest of time, but like yourself, I feel like we still kind of have left a part of the circle open, and I know I don't like to close that way, but I suspect we don't have much.
No, we don't.
Options.
A lot of times when you do a reading with a very few cards and the meaning is not 100% clear, or you feel that there's more to be said, a lot of times you draw clarifying cards and you add to the cards that you have. We don't have the option to do that tonight. The whole point of this exercise was to answer it with the cards that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the best that we could, and the answer is extremely interesting. And if I were Helena, I would go home tonight and do some interesting thinking. But anyway, the time has come to go, and I want to thank you all very much for being here. Hold on one second.
Tell them next week, same number.
Yeah, and we're going to be here, of course, next week at the same time. The number will be the same. And I look forward very much to talking with you then, and we'll do some interesting stuff with the court cards. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we go?
I have one quick question.
Uh-huh.
When we did this before, I was wondering if Marcy, if she was looking at a white Mazda, if she went out and got the white Mazda.
Oh, that's right.
that's so funny. Well, I have so much to share with you, but of course in this late hour, the readings that you have done for me, everything has come so full to, everything has come to fruition. And on that cheery note, I'm so busy that next Wednesday night I'm doing a 5-hour party, so I won't be able to be with you. But I've also decided to be conservative, so I haven't bought the wheels yet.
That's very funny.
But excellent.
Good for you. All right, so I look forward to talk to you as soon as you can get back. And next week is our final class of the year, and then we'll be taking a break until January. So I look forward to talking to as many of you as can make it. And
I thank you all for letting me kind of kibitz in there.
It was wonderful. And to everyone,
thank
since
you.
I won't be here, have whatever's beautiful and meaningful, may it be yours this holiday. And I love you all, and Happy New Year, and hopefully...
Oh,
that's so funny. Well, thank you, Marcy. We feel
thank
the same
you.
Way.
And go buy a hat.
Right, right. That'll be the motto for this group from now on, right?
For today, yeah.
Right,
okay. Go buy a hat.
Need more passion, that's it.
Right. Okay, guys, so we'll talk to you soon. If anybody, by the way, of course, you know, if anybody has any questions or comments that they want to make privately or anything, please feel free to call. Talk to you guys soon.
Blessings.
Bye.
Bye-bye, thanks.